with a shout to the Lord. You believe in that? Isn't the Lord precious? Don't you love Him? It's easy to love the Lord because He's beautiful. He is majestic. And He loves to love on us in a very precious and personal way. Amen? That's our shepherd. That's why this adventure is so exciting, is because it's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not a list of rules, okay? I want to tell you, it's a relationship. And I want to tell you something that's very, very important to Father, and that's why that this series will help you practice the presence of God, this principle, powerful principle of meditation on God in His Word. That is a missing link in Christianity. And it's not by emotion. It's not by chill bump. It's not by your works. It's by practicing His presence through the powerful principle of meditation on Him in the Word. And, you know, I want to tell you, He loves to make Himself known to you. He loves to love on you. He loves personal interaction with you. He's the lover of your soul. And that's what lovers like. Amen? Come on. Come on. Amen. All right. So, let me encourage you. I say encourage because the Bible says we're to exhort one another. And He says that because we need a lot of it. Okay, we need to learn, like David did, how to let the Lord encourage us personally and exhort us. And also, I want to tell you, the Lord loves to exhort others through us. And He loves to exhort us through people. And this is part of the way He operates. He's a two-way operator. And sometimes when I say that, I have certain groups that I preach to that go, "Oh, let me share with you. Don't hang up yet, okay?" It goes like this, is that this relationship, the vertical relationship between you and the Lord, affects this relationship, the horizontal with you and people. Okay, you ready? Here it comes. This relationship between you and people affects this relationship between you and the Lord. Yes, it does. Okay, that's why it's so important, and we use this little terminology to keep the roof off. And the walls down. Okay, that openness and honesty like David practiced in the psalm. And I want to tell you, openness with man reveals genuineness with God. It's true. Okay, now nobody's, and I have and see people get on the book of face and practice a psychological nakedness. Proverbs warns against that. Don't do that. That's not what we're talking about. You be open and honest with God about everything. You're not going to shock Him. You're not going to disappoint Him. He knows. But I want to tell you, when you get it out, when you get it in the open, when you bring it to the light, then He can minister to you about it. He can touch you right there when you practice openness. But if you practice a hiddenness, a closed, then I want to tell you, you're saying no to God. And so I want to tell you, and with people, it's not a, there's a difference between confessing with the Lord, the openness with the Lord, and sharing your faults with people. There's a difference in that. And sometimes young ones don't really know the value of what is what, and that's okay, you know, we're okay. With young ones practicing. But it's very, very important, even with the more mature, to practice a level of openness with the brothers and sisters. Because if we don't do that, we present an unrealistic picture of the walk with Jesus to the young ones. For example, young ones will say, "Well, I know I fumbled the ball this week. I know I stumbled. But old brother so-and-so, all I ever hear from him is victory, victory, victory." And I want to tell you something. That's okay. We need the victories because we're bragging on Jesus, right, when we share the victories. But it's very, very important also that young ones hear, "You know what? I struggled this week. Maybe the enemy pulled me back a little bit. I lost a little bit of ground. But this is how the Lord worked in me and reminded me, the Holy Spirit reminded me of who I am in Christ. And this is how the Lord lovingly recovered me. And even though maybe even I fell down, a righteous man will what? Seven times? I'm telling you, the Lord will help you back up. And see, the young ones need to hear that, because in their own mind, they think, well, they never struggle. But yeah, we do. And that's why that it's an encouragement to be open and honest with one another. But with God, you're open and honest about everything. Don't hold anything back. As a matter of fact, the only area that David held back on with God was his sex life. And that's the area he fell in. All right? I don't guess I need to get on that point. It's not in the notes. But I think it's important today, okay? Are you with me? Okay, saints. So if you even pay attention in this journey, in this world, if you even pay attention, it's easy to get overwhelmed and get discouraged. And so we're to exhort one another. I'm going to try to do that today. But one of the important things I want to point out to you is that don't be tuned in to the 10 Spies of Lies network. That's everywhere. It's coming at you from all sides. And big forms, you know, they give you the world report of darkness. And man, I want to tell you, we're living in a day where they can collect all the negative reports from around the world and shove it down your brain in a matter of minutes. Here's the dark, dark world report. And just put it on you. And you feel just overwhelmed and you say, oh, my, you know, that's not our part, okay? God didn't design you to look at the world report of darkness. He designed you to look at the day, the right now, light in front of your feet, okay? The very light that he's shining on your path, that's your part. That's what we're to focus on. When you focus on the light, when you focus on Jesus, and when you focus on the light report of the day, of the right now, about what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing right now in your journey, then I want to tell you, hope comes. Peace comes. Joy comes. Love life flows. You're exhorted and encouraged in the Lord. But if you listen to the 10 Spies of Lies network, then I want to tell you, you'll be in a mess in a Dallas minute. Now, we all know that. Have I heard an amen this morning? Okay. And so, this is why we meditate on God in the Word. And notice, we make this emphasis over and over, to meditate on God in the Word. You don't just meditate. You know, the enemy's a copycat. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. And he does a lot of things about meditation that's just dark, but he's a copycat. God's the one that invented it. And I want to tell you that one of the biggest differences is that when we meditate on God in the Word. We see Jesus in the Word. And when the world talks about meditating, they want you to empty your mind. Okay? And when you empty your mind, guess what? Somebody wants to fill it up. That does not have your best interest in mind. And I'm just going to get a little plain, and you know, I'm not afraid of doing that. If you listened to last week's message, thank you for tuning back in. Okay. But for example, there's some certain exercises, yoga, and you know what? Stretching is great for the body. Okay? I'm going to get back into that stretching. But stretching's great for the body. Stretching's important for the body. It's all good. But sometimes in yoga, in certain places, the chants and the repetition is a prayer to not your Lord. And I want to tell you, those repetitions and some of those incantations that are being said that you don't even understand are sometimes praying to a deity that's not God. And there's a way of inviting things into your journey. Now, don't look at me like that. You know, come on now. Everybody smile at me. I'm trying to help you here because I've had people in the past, Pastor Don, say amen, that practiced that, that had trouble with their mind and depression for years. Okay? And so I'm announcing to you, it's a very, very, the Bible says to guard your heart. Okay? Guard your heart. So I'm just encouraging you to guard your heart and fill it up with the Word. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. Not with the things of the world, not with a 10 spy of lies network, but with the Word. Okay? Because when you meditate on God in His Word, He gives you revelation. I want to tell you, the church is big on education, but I want to tell you, we're too small on revelation. Okay? It's not education by itself. It's getting in the Word and seeing God in the Word, and the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus in the Word. When you see Jesus in the Word, you can see yourself in the Word. And the Word of God actually becomes the mirror that it's supposed to be, that you look into and see how you really are. And not what the 10 Spies of Lies network has told you all your life. Man, that's important. We walk by faith and receive spiritual insight. We walk by faith and spiritual insight, not physical sight. Okay? Faith, hope, and love give you spiritual vision, spiritual sight. And I've shared with you in this series that faith, hope, and love by themselves are great, but it's a combination lock. And when we practice the three of them, faith, hope, and love, it's like the combination lock on my house. I'm not going to tell you the number, but when you hit every number right, the door opens. And you see into the heavenly realm like He designed you to see. Because the Bible says, without vision, the people perish. And that word perish means unrestrained. It means like people go wild. Boy, isn't that easy to see now. And so I'm encouraging you that this is for you. This is not just for pastors. This is not just for seminary students or Bible college people. This is for everyday believers. And I'm telling you, it's not restricted by age. The Holy Spirit knows how to show you Jesus in your heart at whatever level that you're at. He wants to show you Jesus. And when you see Jesus, I want to tell you, revelation brings revolution in your life. Oh, have we seen that before? I want to encourage you. Don't be satisfied at eating off someone else's plate. Now, I want to tell you, you can get a good meal that way. Pastor Zach, one that's pastoring in North Carolina, and Chris, one that's outside of Austin, those pastors in the Lord at one time, little fellas, and I had large youth groups at that time, and I can remember in my house on Wednesday night, and we're having about 70 teens packed in my house, and we would feed them. And so, you know, we'd have to push all the furniture back. All the teens were on the floor. Those of you who were there have good memories of this. And we would feed them, and they'd all be sitting on the floor, and they'd be eating and had their drinks there. And, yes, we had to have the carpet cleaned on a regular basis. But I'm telling you, it was precious. But my little fellows would run from plate to plate. I can remember sitting and watching them go from plate to plate eating whatever would be given to them. And, you know, they got a real good meal for us all over with. And, you know, it didn't bother me about germs because I trust Jesus. He's more powerful than germs. All right, as a matter of fact, I shouldn't go there. We get too clean. Something the naturalists were saying a couple decades ago now, medical science is saying that, you know what, we're so clean now that we don't build a resistance to, okay, I'm not going there. But I'm telling you something, that's okay when you're little. Eat off somebody else's plate. As you grow a little bit, Pastor Don won't eat off your plate. No, what I'm saying is dads want to back clean up. But what I'm saying is this, is that it comes to a time that you need to eat off your own plate. And I want to tell you, even though we enjoy refreshment and spiritual insight and revelation from others because we fellowship and exhort one another in the Word, I want to tell you, Jesus wants to give you a personal meal. Oh, it's sweet to enjoy a personal meal. And he wants to love on you with the word, that fresh bread, in your honor. Because he loves you. That's what he loves to do. Fresh bread from Jesus. Now remember, God asked Abraham one time, or Abe at that time, what do you see? And he revealed the picture in his heart as a failure. Because he said, I have no children. No one to give my inheritance to. And God told him, God gave him a word of hope. Would you listen? Have you received a word? Some people right now today need a word of hope. And Jesus wants to give you a word of hope. You put your focus on him. But see, part of the problem was Abe saw himself as a failure because he didn't have any kiddos. Couldn't have any. And Jesus gave him a word of hope personally. He said, you're going to have children. Seed's going to come out of your own body. You're going to have your own children. That was a word of hope. And then he gave him pictures. Is anyone listening? This is where meditation on God and his word takes place. He gave him pictures because God knows that we learn by pictures. And he went outside and he showed him the stars. And he said, you look at the stars and you meditate on what I said because that's going to be the number of your children. He showed him the sands on the ground. And he said, in the nighttime, remember, meditate on me and my promise, my goodness. In the daytime, look at the sands and remember my promise. This is going to be your heritage. And I want to tell you, the beautiful part in all this is that Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. And I'm telling you what, when God speaks to you a word of hope, and he loves to do this with his children, and he confirms, he gives you hope pictures in your heart, I want to tell you, faith comes. Hope comes first. First is love, the acceptance of the Lord. And then he gives us a word of hope and pictures of hope. And then faith is there. It's not something to be struggled with. It's not something to work up. It's not an emotion. Faith comes. It's a combination lock, I'm telling you. And his faith was there, and it was counted unto him as rightness with God. And he received. Now, that's a beautiful picture right there. But see, he had to change the inside vision from failure to hope. And God gave him the word and the pictures to do that. He gave Abe pictures to meditate on. Now, see, hey, before he could believe and receive on the outside, he had to receive a different picture on the inside. And I want to tell you that's true today. And that's something for all of us. Ephesians 1, verse 16 says this, I do not cease to give thanks for you. I want to tell you, we ought to be in a position where we can thank God for everybody around us. If you ever find in your heart that you can't thank God for somebody, then you need to take time to submit that person to the Lord. You need to practice some forgiveness, because the only reason you're not able to thank God for somebody is if there's some kind of, little offense there, little disturbance there. And so you need to be free to give thanks to God for everybody. And making mention of him in prayers. And so what this is in Ephesians 1, I'm going to tell you, because we've taught saints to take the Psalms, and the Holy Spirit gives us freedom to do this, to personalize those Psalms. To take those Psalms, take a Psalm and identify with those Psalms. And we've encouraged saints to write that Psalm out in your own words, okay, and surrender it to the Lord. The Lord loves his word. And when you pray his word, oh, my, it's so beautiful. But I'm telling you, it's important to personalize. I'm saying that this is a prayer. When you see a prayer in the word of God, understand that it's God's heart for you. Personally. You put your face on it, put your name on it. It's for you personally. And so I'm saying to you that this is a beautiful prayer, and I want you to take this prayer this next week and personalize it. Let the Holy Spirit give you personal words in your own language. Personalize this, write it out, and pray it. Speak it. Because when you're praying a prayer of God's will for you, you're speaking his will in your life. Great things happen when we speak God's word for us. When you speak, you release the authority of it. Boy, this is great. I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you. Now, see, this is where you put your name in it. I'd say it like this, that Lord, you have granted Tim, Slim Tim, a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into mysteries and secrets, into the deep and intimate knowledge of him. See, this is where we can miss it because it's not just knowledge. We had someone sit in our house a few weeks ago and talk about they were raised in church. They know all the Bible stories. I'm going to tell her the whole, you can know all the Bible stories and not know one inch of spiritual revelation. You can't operate by your human brain and receive revelation. Your spirit has to be involved in this. It's just like when we worship. You cannot worship by just mouthing the words and repeating like a parrot. We worship him in spirit. Your spirit needs to be involved. It can't just, if you operate by your brain, that's the same way the world operates, and the Bible calls that death. Worldly-mindedness, human brain is death all by itself. But spiritual-mindedness is life. And we need, and he's designed us, if you're saved, to reach and receive out of the spiritual realm. Light, fresh bread, revelation for you. And he will show you mysteries and secrets of deep and intimate knowledge of him. You see, not just knowledge about him. That's not it. It's not just biblical knowledge, facts. No, no, no. It's getting to know him in a personal, deep, personal, I'm going to say it like this because it's a part of the language, an intimate knowledge of him. And that word of knowing him intimately is the same word that describes that Adam knew Eve. Would someone say intimacy? So I don't have to preach anymore about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's a greater level of knowing him that the Lord wants us to experience. And that's more than brain knowledge. But do you mark down verse 17? This is describing the love life that comes from knowing him. Because I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit shows you how beautiful your shepherd is. How majestic that he is. I want to tell you, you can't help but respond. Hey, we love him because we see that he loves us first so much. And your response is to love him back. You see, this is how to grow in your love life with the Lord. This is important to him. This is first. The first key to the lock is the love life of knowing him. 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Now, I have people question me about when I preach this. What you mean light? What are you talking about light? Well, let the Bible define the Bible. Hey, his word is a... That's right. His word is a light into my feet. A light to my feet. A light unto my path. You better believe it. His word is light. And so I want to tell you, you fill your heart, let it be flooded with the word of God. And I want to tell you what will happen if your heart's flooded with the word of God. You get revelation knowledge of him. Is that good? And you get hope. That's where hope. See, that's the love in verse 17. Verse 18 is the hope factor. That you can know and understand the hope. Oh, we need hope. We can have all the hope that we'll receive. He's not holding back on you with hope. He hasn't turned off the faucet. We may have, but he hasn't. Ever flowing from him. That you can know, personally know and understand, have an awareness of the hope to which he has called you. I'm telling you, there's a lot of believers that I preach to that don't have a... I need to say this so nice. Don't have any idea of why they're here and what God wants with them. And I'm telling you, he wants you to know. I'm telling you, you can know, and he wants you to know. And I want to tell you what he's got planned for you is bigger than all your dreams put together. God will put that dream seed in you, and he'll show you. But that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you. You have a calling on your life. God designed you with a purpose even before you were born. He absolutely knit you together and weaved you together. You were an artistic. He did good on you. He didn't make any mistakes on you. And I want to tell you, when our life is submitted and yielded to him, He can take you and mold you into an instrument that will bring him honor and glory. He's designed you to be a trophy of his grace. That's you. That's what he has for you. And so not only that you have that assurance of his love and that you have a hope and know that while you're here, that you are useful and valuable to God, but he wants to show you in this hope how rich is his glorious inheritance to the saints. Now I'm announcing to you that everything that he paid for on the cross, he paid for us to know and receive and experience in this life. Don't wait till heaven. Hey, he promised abundant life right here. There's a promised land for us in your journey, and he wants to be a part of your journey every step of the way. And I'm announcing to you that he has so much that he's paid for us. And I've got to announce to the body of Christ, we've only just skimmed the surface of what all he's paid for. And I want to tell you, we're in the last days. And so I'm telling you, in the last days, get ready for a great outpouring. I'm telling you, there's harvest. The harvest is white. Don't you dare look at the 10 spies of Lies Network and say that the world's dark and they don't care and they don't want Jesus. Yes, they do. And I'm telling you, there's a great drawing of Jesus to himself. And we get the privilege of being a part of it. But you got to see the glorious inheritance that he has paid for you. Wow. Verse 19. So that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited. Don't tell me. Don't limit God. Mm-mm-mm. We cannot limit God. Don't limit God. Okay? Just because brother so-and-so didn't receive or sister so-and-so. You know, you cannot base your life on their journey. You've got to base your life on Jesus. And what Jesus is saying and what Jesus has paid for you, there's a whole lot more for you. Don't limit yourself because you limit God. Don't put God in a box. Okay? I'm sharing with you there's an immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power. See, this is the faith part. Verse 17 is the love. Verse 18 is the hope. Hey, and verse 19, here comes faith. And when faith is expressed, power is manifested. God does what only he can do. I'm telling you, if your dream for your life is something that you or Joe Blow or anybody else can accomplish, your vision's way too small. And you're limiting God. I want to tell you, you know, when you've got a vision from God, when it's impossible for you to accomplish it. Let God give you. Let God give you that picture. Let God give you that word. And I want to tell you, if faith comes when you're experiencing his love and his hope, faith is there. It's not something to be worked up. Faith comes in and for us who believe. And he gave us an example of it. This power-activated faith that we can receive. He paid the price for us to receive. He gave us a sample of what it is, and it's called in verse 20, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Woo! That ought to make somebody shout. Because there's no mountain too big. No valley too deep. No cloud too dark. His resurrection power is what he has in us and for us who believe. Now, if that don't stretch you, we need to pray over you. This is what this prayer is about. The spirit of wisdom opened your heart to be flooded. Hey, I want to announce to you, all these benefits in this, and I've got to move on, but all these benefits are your birthright. That's what Jesus paid for. Anything Jesus paid for, we can have. Because it's by grace. It's not us earning it, it's us receiving it. Jesus paid for it. Okay? That's what Jesus has in mind. So this is why meditation is the missing link. I'm telling you, meditation's a missing link. And this is why we need to personally practice. You need to learn how to do this. Well, Brother Tim, I'm intimidated. No, no, the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He will show you. I dare you to ask. Get in the Word, open the Word, see Jesus in the Word. What is He saying? What is He doing? Because the Holy Spirit will take what He's saying and what He's doing and reveal who He is. And who He is in the Bible is who He is in you. Boy, that's not complicated. We teach teens how to do that. Look at this. Meditation is how to receive the invisible, greater reality than where we live. Joshua 1:3, I love this. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you as I promised Moses. I'm announcing to you, he paid for us to have abundant life on this earth. And I want to tell you, there are steps that we need to take. And we need to step of faith. We need to step out and take a step of faith. And God's already saying to us, because of what Jesus has paid for, every step you take, hey, I want to tell you, I've already calling it your possession in Christ. Joshua 1:8. This is how to practice Joshua 1:8, the book of the law. Somebody say, the word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, sometimes when I say that, people don't understand. What it means is this, is that you take it in. A lot of people take in the word and spit it right back out before they get home. It's talking about taking it in and keeping it down, chewing the cud, squeezing every drop out of the orange. You know what? It means chewing on it, muttering. Musing is a word of meditation in Scripture. Muttering, to say over and over again in your heart. And you know what? It's to meditate on it, keep it down. When you take that nanner, banana for the rest of the world, when you take that nanner and you eat it and you keep it down, guess what? It becomes a part of you. That living life in that nanner becomes a part of your body. And that's what happens with the Word of God. When you meditate and muse, okay, chew on it. Let it become a part of you. That, look at this, that you shall meditate on it just 10 minutes a day. Oh, wait, no. No, that's, no. It says day and night. Okay? I want to tell you, this is available. You know what a lot of believers have taught me? You know what they've told me out front, told me face to face? I don't have time for that. Well, you don't have time for the abundant life of Jesus Christ in your life. Maybe our priorities are out of order. Yes, they are. Meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that's written in it. Now, how does this observe and doing? I want to tell you how it is in New Testament terms. Great grace comes. When you meditate on God in the Word, grace comes. And His grace enables you. His grace enables you from the Word. And don't settle for a watered-down version of it. I did that yesterday morning. I put water in my coffee pot on Friday and forgot about it, put more water in it on Saturday, and I had a big cup of coffee, but it was weak. Okay. Hey, look, it's okay for you to read a little devotional. It's okay for you to read a Christian book, but I'm going to make an announcement right here. There are a lot of Christians that would rather pick up a book than pick up the Bible. And I want to tell you, don't settle for eating off someone else's plate all the time. Hey, you're eating a watered-down version of what God has for you. Let it be personal. He wants it to be personal. And I tell you, you know who you are. I don't know your name anyway, but you know who you are. For then, great grace comes. He gives you a fresh touch of desire. His power shows up. You can't explain it. His life, His presence shows up. And you say, I don't understand, but it's from the Word. The Word is powerful. It's not a history book. It's a living Word. It's Jesus. For then you shall make your way prosperous. Is this something your pastor does for you? Nope. This is something God's promised. And let me go ahead and announce this real quick. It's not a suggestion. You see? It's not a suggestion. For then you shall make your way prosperous. and then you shall deal wisely. You know what? You're going to have wisdom. You know why you're going to have wisdom? Because I want to tell you, you meditate on God in the Word. You get wisdom. You get His thoughts. You see His thinking. In the big screen of your heart, you see what He's got in mind. And that's wisdom from God. I want to tell you, when God gave Solomon wisdom, He gave him a hearing heart. He was able to see on the big screen of his heart what God was saying and what God wanted. Without a vision, the people, we need to practice vision. Then you'll deal wisely and you'll have good success. God loves the impossible. That's a great time to say amen. I'm going to just say it again. God loves the impossible. He loves to show Himself mighty on our behalf. God brings glory to Himself through our lives. You know what we're to be? We're to be living billboards for Jesus. Huh? I saw a vehicle drive by today, and apparently it was, I guess they get paid for being a billboard. I thought, we're going to be called Freedom Life Fellowship in the near future. And I'd like to have a bunch of them vehicles driving around. But you know what hit me? That's what our lives are to be. Our lives are to be living billboards for Jesus. Our lives are to be living proof that He's alive. Now, I want to tell you, needs come. Don't be scared of needs when they come. When needs show up, because your shepherd loves you so much, you can smile, you can say, praise the Lord, you can submit it to God, and you can receive, God, how you want to do this? Needs come. Don't be intimidated by them. They help us need Him. They remind us that need Him. You know, God told them when they went into the promised land, hey, milk and honey and all that, and hey, don't forget me. Remember in all your blessing, hey, blessing land, remember in all your blessing that you need me. Don't forget me. It helps us to need Him. Don't forget Him in your blessed land. He loves to show Himself. He loves to manifest His loving goodness and His loving power. For example, let's get a little specific. Anybody need healing? Hey, listen at this. Meditate on Jesus in the Word. He's the healer. Get to know the healer. Now, I want to qualify something, because this is a miss in Christendom. Okay? And it goes like this. Focus on Jesus, the healer, and not the healing. There's a greater level of acceptance here. You can focus on healing and miss. If you focus on Jesus, the healer, it's a whole lot easier to receive. I don't know if you got that. All right, let me go on. How about provision? Need provision? Meditate on Jesus in the Word. He's the great I Am. He's the provider. If you meditate on provision by itself, you can miss. There's a higher level that we need to go to in our focus. Are you with me? Do you need wisdom? Is there something you just don't know? And that happens sometimes. And He told us what to do when we just don't know. But I want to tell you, you meditate on Jesus in the Word. He's the all-knowing one. I nearly got knocked down on that one. Okay. Let me just stop for a moment. It's important that you don't just seek the answer by itself. I'm telling you, go higher. Okay? Hey, esteem Him. And not the answer as the answer, but esteem Him as the answer. And it's a whole lot easier to receive what He's saying and what He's doing. It's possible to miss. God, our goal is knowing Him in the Word. And experience that love, hope, and faith. It's great grace that comes. But listen, I'm just saying it. It's not the answer by itself. It's seeking Him. You can actually miss by focusing on the wrong level of the answer. Don't. Let me go the other direction. I'll probably get more amens on this one. Don't be distracted by focusing on the problem. Lift your eyes higher than the answer or the problem or the answer. Lift him up to Jesus. Because this is what Bible says. He's the way, escape. Jesus is. And by all means, I'm just sharing with you, when you focus on Jesus, I want to tell you, we're able to receive. And the Holy Spirit will show you His answer, His provision, His healing. And we don't, be careful not to figure out the how-to for God. I want to tell you, God's got too much help. And what I want to say is that we'll pray and we'll get peace from God, and that's where we're supposed to be, that rest and that peace. That's when it's easy to receive. But then we want to get out of the rest and we want to help God out with how to do it. Well, that's putting God in a box. Don't limit Him. Meditating on God in His Word is to be a continual practice. What I'm saying with you, this is supposed to be a fellowship relationship, not just when you have a problem or a need or a crisis. Boy, that's very important. Maybe you need to play that back again, because that's very important. If you wait until there's a crisis, I'm telling you, one of the greatest hindrances, and I'm fixing to do a series on this, but one of the greatest hindrances to hearing God is emotions. I'm telling you, wrong emotions, right emotions, emotions can hinder you from hearing God. They can hinder you from hearing and seeing what God's doing. In crisis, the first priority is not the answer. The first priority is to receive peace and be at rest, the rest in the Lord. When you rest, He's working. When you're working, He's resting. I don't know how to make it any more plain. You need help to misunderstand that. From resting in the Lord, it's a whole lot easier to see and hear what God's doing, because the emotion is put in the caboose where it's supposed to be, because you're in peace. And I want to tell you, we're to operate from peace. And so peace is very, very important. The Lord lovingly, and I'm saying the word lovingly, He loves to bring us into opportunities for Him to show Himself mighty. Okay? For example, there's times my wife and I will look at each other and say, things are looking right for a miracle. The stage is set. Okay? I want to tell you what He's precious about doing. He will lead us into these breaking of the nets harvest opportunities. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? He will lead us into a healing touch that we need from Jesus that doctors and medicine can't do. Hey, when's the last time you've been up against the Red Sea? Those Red Sea opportunities come. Hey, when's the last time you needed water out of the rock? There was nowhere to receive water and you needed water out of the rock. When's the last time you needed to cross the River Jordan and it was in flood stage? Hey, He loves to show Himself mighty on our behalf. This is what I'm saying. When you come up to a situation where it's a Red Sea or you need a breaking of the nets harvest, that's when you smile. That's when you focus on Jesus and the Word and you practice receiving. It's not gaining. It's not earning. It's receiving. Love on the Lord. He loves to show Himself mighty. You know what He wants? This brings Him glory when you rest in Him. And when you say what God's saying and not what the 10 Spies of Lies network is saying. Receive peace and rest, and you know what? You let God be God. I don't do this perfectly. I share with you when I don't. But practice meditating on God in His Word, and you know what? You'll receive. I'm going to give you a quick testimony of two opportunities that this happened. One was back in 1991, I believe. And I was a part of a church that the church pastor leader had fallen. There was a lot of debt to be paid back. And man, we just stuck it out and paid the debt back. About the time the debt, the offenses was paid off, the Lord really showed me that this old wineskin needed to be laid down, that He was going to do a new wineskin. And so I shared this with the leadership, And the Lord showed me in my quiet time. And it wasn't a supernatural visitation, but it was a picture in my heart. He showed me a little video in my heart because we were in a situation where we had a facility that by the time everything was done and that we had smaller numbers than what the facility, we couldn't afford the facility we were in. And I want to tell you what happened. In my quiet time, the Lord showed me a little movie of about a dozen men walking into our meeting and announcing to us that they wanted to exchange properties and that there was going to be an exchange of property and it wasn't going to cost us anything. And so I want to tell you, I got that vision. I wrote it down. I was so excited about our next leadership meeting, and I brought it into our leadership meeting. I'm sitting there around a group of men, and I shared with them what God said and what God showed me. And there was complete silence. And one guy spoke up and said, "What pizza did you have last night, Pastor?" And they all kind of laughed. I'm not joking with you. They all kind of laughed. And so I had to take a little authority in the meeting and back up the truck and say, "No, no, this is what God is going to do." And his impression to me was that he was going to do it soon. So we need to get ready to move. Well, I want to tell you, wasn't a bunch of shouting, wasn't a bunch of singing, wasn't a bunch of hallelujah, wasn't any dancing or any chill bumps. But you know what? I had a couple weeks to reinforce that. And lo and behold, without me seeking it, without me reaching it out, someone approached us and said, "Pastor, I need to bring my leadership to your meeting. Come on." And when they came into the meeting, they said that very thing. Am I right? They said, "We have a facility, and we need to exchange facilities, no cost to you. As a matter of fact, you'll get paid to do it." I want to tell you, it's an absolute amazing miracle. And within a number of weeks, not months, a number of weeks, we were in a new facility. And I want to tell you, this facility that we have now, pretty well nearly the same thing happened. I want to tell you a difference. I prayed for 7 years for a relocation. I knew we needed to move. I wanted to move. There were some things in the past there that we needed to get away from. There was a facility, and I checked with one person that was supposedly a real estate expert, and he told me, "No one's going to want that building. The only thing they want is this property. You'll get $250,000. I said, "That ain't going to do it." Okay, I'm seeking the Lord. Prayed for 7 years. The Lord showed me in a vision, a picture in my heart, that you know what? It was time to move. And that it was going to happen quickly. And that we needed to move on it. And so I brought it into the meeting of our leadership and I said, "God said it's time to move. And it's going to happen quickly." And there was complete silence except for Pastor Don. Thank God for Pastor Don. Now, what he spoke wasn't a great word of faith, but it was better than "What pizza did you have?" He said this. He said, "You know, it wouldn't hurt to check this out and just see." Well, I want to tell you, I had to reaffirm. This is what God's doing. This is what he said. This is what's going to happen. We need to get ready to move. 6 weeks later, it's an absolute miracle. I want to tell you how much of a miracle. Not only did it happen this quick, but real estate folk that we talked to said, "This can't happen." It happened. And I want to tell you, it happened to over $1 million plus answer. Am I right? I want to tell you something. When you've seen God come through and do $1 million plus answer, what is a swimming pool of a few thousand dollars? You know what? Hey, baby, we can laugh at that. God's got this. Can I speak to your life? God's got this. I want to tell you something. God wants you to know he's got it. He wants you to have hope that he's got it. He wants you to receive love life from him, that he cares about you. And he loves you just as much as he did the Apostle Paul, the Apostle John. He loves you. And you know what? He paid for everything we need in this life and the next. Our joy is to trust and rely on him. Love, practice being seeing him in the word, receive his hope. Practice seeing him in the word, receive his faith. It's something he does. We're not achievers, we're receivers. So there's hope for your life, because God ain't finished yet. Okay, would you bow your heads and let's pray and let's submit this to the Lord. And let's just ask the Lord to come and speak to our life and speak to the mountain that you're facing right now, or maybe the desert that you're facing, maybe the giant that you're facing. And I want you to know that how big of a God do you need? Because your God is bigger than anything that can show up in your mind. But I'm telling you, it's very, very important that you don't focus on the giants or the mountains, that you don't focus on the desert, that you focus on Jesus. He's your champion. And He always leads us into triumph. Let's follow Him. Let's surrender to Him. Let's declare that Jesus is God, and He's the all I am, and He's more than enough for whatever we face. And let's practice seeking Him in the Word and seeing Him. And He'll show us that He's the way of escape. Lord Jesus, we just bless You in the name of Jesus. We just submit. We surrender to You. And Lord, we take authority over the powers and works of darkness that have implanted in our heart. We renounce the curses of those movies and those pictures and those words that have been spoken against our life, and we break them in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we release the word of hope. We release the word of love. We release the word of faith. And Lord, we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we just submit right now and receive by Your precious Spirit fresh grace that causes us to be drawn to You. I speak in the name of Jesus for our eyes of our hearts to be open, the ears of our hearts to be open. I declare in the name of Jesus that vision is being resurrected, Lord, so that we can see You and see ourselves as You see us and see others as You see them. Let's give the Lord praise. And all the people said, amen, amen, and amen.